So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the loop.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Well, Les Thatcher, it is time for some news before we get to some of the news from this week.
Okay.
I do want to remind everybody, we've got Paul Bearer coming on the show, a.k.a. Percy Pringle III. And we're also going to have, of course, the First Lady of Wrestling, Missy Hyatt, on the program today.
All right.
There's a little bit of a shakeup with Bret Hart and the Hall of Fame induction. Now, the Calgary Sun had put up an article on Bret Hart with a small interview with him. And had a bunch of quotes from the Hitman himself saying that he's going to the Hall of Fame ceremony, but he's not going to WrestleMania. He's got a plane home in the morning of WrestleMania. He's not going to be there at all. And said if he saw Shawn Michaels at the at the Hall of Fame ceremony, that he's going to turn around and leave.
You know what? I believe he will.
I kind of believe he will, too.
So, I mean...
A lot of people are saying this is a swerve, and Bret Hart is going to show up and mess up the match between Michaels and McMahon.
I don't know.
But,
You know what? After all it's been said and done, I'd hate to see him do that. And I don't mean that in a way I hate to see him make a buck, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the fact that he's would do it. But I think after everything that's been said publicly, it just would look bad.
It really would. I think so.
Yeah.
And I don't think the payday is worth it for him.
And, you know, and I have no beef with anybody. I mean, I see both sides of the street in that particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but I don't know. There's a lot to be said, but I think, you know, I just would like to see it handled better and come off better. But, you know, nobody asked me. So there you have it, man. There you have it.
WPTV is reporting that no charges will be brought against Vince McMahon for an alleged incident in Boca Raton, Florida, tanning salon. In case you forgot or didn't know, a 22-year-old Tanzibar tanning salon employee accused McMahon of showing her nude photos of himself on his camera phone, then backing her into a corner and groping her.
Uh-huh.
State's attorney office says that there's not enough evidence to bring charges against McMahon, so that's done and over with.
Yep. Well, see, that's, you know, I don't know. That high-profile people are too easy. Too high. Well, they're high profile.
Right.
You know, no, I mean it's too easy to take shots at people. I've seen it up close.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I mean, I don't know. You know, it's kind of like the Tyson deal. I don't know.
Mike Tyson and the rape.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's. I don't know. You know. It's like I say. It's a tough call to make.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, some of these high-profile people think they can do everything they want. It's hard to tell who's telling the truth and who's lying and stuff like that, but the bottom line is that no charge is going to be brought against Vince McMahon.
Yeah, well, that seems silly that Vince would do something like that, honestly. I thought that when I first saw it.
Yeah, it does seem...
It just doesn't make a
weird.
Lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would have to go about that if he were looking for younger women.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to say that, but that's...
He could just hold another deep search.
Yeah, or whatever, but that doesn't seem like the coolest thing in the world to happen.
Here's good news for our friend, our good friend JR. He's going to be reportedly doing commentary on the Raw side of WrestleMania this Sunday.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, I read where Joey Styles commented on it, too, on the WWE site,
mm-hmm.
and mentioned that he wasn't you know, comfortable with, you know, and wasn't where he thought he needed to be, and I thought that was gracious.
Yeah, it really was. But he did make a little backhanded comment that, you know, they're not looking for a play-by-play guy. They're looking for a a lead storyteller.
Well, you know what? JR does play-by-play some too. I don't know. You know, it's again, it's style. You know, it's chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. And, you know,
yeah.
Pumpkin pie or apple pie. Just all it's pie, right? I mean, it's just you like one flavor and I like another. I don't know. I can say as I said last week, I like Joey. What is it, ECW? Plus, as we were talking about with Pete,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was a one-man booth there.
Right.
And sometimes to adapt is not the easiest thing in the world. You know?
Especially going from one to three.
Yeah, Cottle's worked one-man. Gordon did. I did. Ed Capel has. Charlie Platt. Lance. Well, no, I think that. Well, Dave Brown was with him, but... you know, a lot of the guys worked, back in the 60s and 70s with a one-man booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gordon and I in Atlanta was an exception at that time in the early 70s, simply because we wanted to have the big league feel because they had pro basketball, football, and baseball there, which, you know, had a two-man booth, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
The next edition of Saturday Night's Main Event has already been set. I don't know if you knew that or not.
What is it in the fall? August?
It's going to be July 15th.
Oh, July, okay.
From the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be
right.
a 2-hour primetime special, just as it was when it aired this past Saturday.
Weren't they going to do that in Long Island initially?
I don't know about that.
I don't know either. But anyways, okay, July. So... You know, we'll see. They're obligated, or at least they're, you know, for two appearances a year, and that's on Saturday night.
Right.
But the time slot is optional, and I don't know if they'd put them in the Saturday Night Live spot or not in lieu of the ratings. You know, everybody talks about those particular ratings on that show. And you know what? In the final analysis, maybe it's just a reflection of how the business trend is right now. Business has been down.
Yeah.
You know, indie level, at the top level,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe that's just the lack of interest that the ratings aren't there, you know.
It's possible.
There's nothing, there's always been occasions, I think, that set fire to a particular territory that brought people around. I know the first time they brought the Bruiser into Cincinnati, that was a big deal. And the Sheik, you know, on the regional TV here and live for the first time. And,
right.
And I can go all the way back, you know, to other guys who made their first, you know. There's that impact, and there's nothing really, that I think that has that impact this time around.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's something that we're going to have to look to and see if that trend picks up. But at least they're not going to cancel it after one episode.
No. I don't. You know. Well, they. I can say that I think part of the deal for them moving to USA, as I am led to believe, that they are obligated, or it's in the contract, they will do two a year.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I miss Saturday Night's Main Event. They always were special.
Yeah, they back then they didn't have a pay-per-view every month, right?
Right.
And so, and what you usually got was the main event that had been blown off at the pay-per-view. You got it on the free ride the following Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
or Saturday Night Main Event,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, but that was the whole deal. See, it was fresh still to a lot of people who didn't buy the pay-per-views. Again, the changing times.
Yeah, now they're setting up pay-per-views with them.
And we're not talking about 40 years here. We're talking about 15.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's the thing. You pick up one place, but you realize the market has changed so much too that we've talked about this before. The wrestlers can't leave, go to another territory, and come back fresh
mm-hmm.
because there is no other territory. Plus the interchanging of talent. Now that everyone is under contracts, isn't as easily done as it was years ago either.
Right, that's true. A lot of talk has been being made about the Shimmer match that was at the last Ring of Honor show. They got a huge response to that women's match. It was in New York City, and Ring of Honor is now talking about adding a women's championship at some point in the future.
Yeah, I read that. Well, you know what? That's I see nothing wrong with that. I think, but I don't want to see, you know, a catfight title. I want to see legitimate, you know,
right,
female athletes. Now, I don't care if they're homely or beautiful. That's not the point.
Right.
The fact that they can wrestle professionally, you know, professional style, is really more important.
As long as Dave Prezak is in charge of running that Shimmer promotion, they are not going to have a catfight title.
Yeah. Well, no. I you know, I didn't think so. But I'm just saying, you know, in the Ring of Honor, that would, that's, well, you know, the deal now is, sadly enough, Trish is limited in her growth, as is Victoria. Well, all those girls are.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two experienced, and who do they wrestle besides themselves?
Right.
You know, I mean, neither one of them could go and say, okay, I'm gonna work up, you know, and wrestle with somebody that's better than me and learn.
Yeah.
So you know, so you're limited.
Yeah, you're pretty much stuck.
Yeah, when I say that, it's not that both of them haven't been around a few years, but this is a business where, you know, honestly, if you're working a long schedule, you know, 4, 5, 6 years in before you really mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and they're both only about halfway there.
And who would they wrestle, though, that would be better than them? Some of these women.
Well, that's, oh, no, there are girls out there. Martinez up in New England.
Mercedes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Melissa Anderson, cheerleader Melissa. You know, gosh, there's some good girl workers.
Sarah Del Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a good point. There's a lot of women out there that they can learn from.
Dirty old bitch.
Old dirty bitch.
Old, okay, whatever. Yeah,
ODB.
I saw her. I'd heard so much about her. Saw her work once on one of the all girl things that they taped at the HWA arena a year or so ago. And hell, she's in better shape than some of the guys.
It's gotta be great to be one of her fans.
She's carrying some muscle. I mean, not, you know, not like China was in her heyday, but, you know, she's in shape.
Yeah.
You know, and she's a decent hand. She seems to be.
It's got to be great to be one of her fans, though, because you could be like, hey, old dirty bitch.
Yeah.
And she won't get offended.
Hey, see? It's foolproof, right?
Foolproof. Chris Jericho announced on his XM satellite radio program that he has opened his own MySpace page. Yeah, ahead of Les Thatcher, yes. His MySpace page is now at myspace.com/TheRockOfJericho.
All right. Good for Chris.
Yes. It's your turn, Les.
You mean, if I do one, can I put out a press release, too?
Yeah, we'll put one on the site.
Man, I got enough problems with the website, thank God, without adding to that. Believe me, my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am not a computer genius, nor am I... Well, I guess you could say I'm addicted now, like everyone else. But I find if mine's down, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was just gonna say we're gonna take a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, we've got our first guest, Percy Pringle.
Okay.
The third.
Okay.
And not the first or the second, the third.
Very good. Formerly Paul Bearer.
Formerly Paul Bearer. He's going to be on the program. And Missy Hyde coming up. We're going to take a quick break and get Mr. Percy on the line. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back right after this.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trey Dog here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out our brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it rip.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
And now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm, with such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, indie star Human Tornado, and many, many others. This show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our first guest of the evening. He is, a legend in WWE and wrestling itself. It's Mr. Percy Pringle III, a.k.a. Paul Bearer. Percy, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Legend, please. I'm just a country boy from Mobile, Alabama. The legend is on the other end. We're talking about Mr. Les Thatcher. Now, that's the true legend right there.
There's no arguing that.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm not a legend. I'm just plain old Percy Pringle. It's good to be back, guys. I appreciate you having me back. It's always a pleasure.
I'm with two legends, my friend.
We were just hanging out here about a month ago down in the Gulf Coast.
Yes, we was, exactly, right here at my wrestling school. In fact, I'm at my wrestling school now. I'm on my cell phone. I'm sitting out in my car outside the school because it's so noisy inside I couldn't do an interview.
Yeah.
But Les came down, and he was just playing for a couple hours, but I think he ended up staying about 5 hours, and it was really a good thing. And like I told the kids that come to our school, that I've known Les for a lot of years, both professionally and personally, and whether I talk to Les for 5 minutes or whether I talk to him for 3 hours, I always walk away and I always learn something every time I talk to him. So Les is the legend, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so do I. Even if he has to beat it into my head, I'll learn.
No, I'm sure he can still do that, too.
Yeah.
No, he's getting too old for that. He's mellowing out his old.
Oh, Lester, please. No, seriously, guys, I really appreciate you having me back. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Hey, while we're talking about Golf South, which is the name of Percy's federation and with their school, talk a little bit about when I was down there. You mentioned that just out of the clear blue, your son decided to come in one day. And he'd been at the gym before, but he decided he was going to train and wrestle.
Yeah, in fact, he's here tonight. It was, that's kind of a touchy thing. I working for the Von Erichs for 6 years like I did, and, being around the store there, we don't need to go into that because everybody's familiar with the Von Erichs story and the Fritz story, and working around the McMahons for all the years, And then a lot of the other wrestlers just kind of pushed their kids into the ring. That's something that I never wanted to do. My kids were born in the business. In fact, my youngest son learned to walk in the ring at the Sportatorium in Dallas. He was born in Dallas. And Terry Gordy's son, Ray, who's now one of the developmental talents for WWE, my son and Ray Gordy, they were the same age. They learned to walk in the ring in Dallas. But anyway, long story short, I never pushed them. I never asked them to come work out. Or just one day out of the blue, here comes my youngest son walking in, and he wanted to know if he could train. I said, have at it. So, well, he's fit right in. Blame it all on his roots, I guess.
Excellent.
But I'm really proud of him. I really am. He's doing real well, and I don't cut him any slack, In fact, he's probably got it harder than the rest of the kids because I expect more out of him than I do out of the other kids.
Right.
If that's fair. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know, but that's the way it is.
I think that's the way every father is with their son. My dad was that way.
Yeah, he's got a name to carry on.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, Percy Pringle the Fourth, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
He's a big boy, though. Les got to meet him when he was down here.
Yeah, he is a big boy.
He's 19. He's like about 6'4". He weighs about 275. Like I said, blame it all on his roots. Bless his heart,
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you looking forward to WrestleMania?
Yeah, I am. I'm in St. Louis, and I get back Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll be able to catch the show. And in fact, the kids here at our training school is going to have a WrestleMania party at one of their houses. They're going to have a barbecue and all that, so they're going to drag the old man out, sit back and have a couple of Jack and Cokes and a hamburger or something, and watch WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to it, and. There's a couple of matches I'm really interested in, especially Taker's match with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And Les knows Mark Henry very well, too.
Mark
Henry, we could talk about him a long time, but they were here in Mobile, WWE was, just right after the Gulf Coast Wrestlers reunion. It'd be about 3 weeks ago they were here, and I got to open the show, which was a really good thing for me. It was the first time that they acknowledged the Paul Bearer character. Since we buried him in the concrete,
right.
American Bash, and they played the Undertaker music, and I got to open the show here in my hometown, and hell, the best thing of all, they even paid me for it.
I went
back afterwards and said, "Here, sign this." And what's this for? They said to pay you. I said, "My," I said, "hell, I'd paid him to do this, But it's always a thrill to, I think me and Les have talked to us about this before. It's always a thrill to work in your hometown. In front of your family and your friends, and it's the building that I started in. It's the building where I graduated high school in. So, it's a lot of fun. But I am serious. Back to your original question, I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. It should be interesting.
Which one of the WrestleManias that you participated in was your favorite? Which one stands out?
Well, I get asked a lot about what my favorites are, and you probably, I think me and Les think a lot alike. Most of my favorites usually are my first times, who's your favorite girlfriend? Friend? Oh, maybe it was my first. So I think maybe my favorite WrestleMania probably was my first one, and that was in 1991 in L.A. It was WrestleMania 7. Imagine that. Here we are at WrestleMania 22, and I started at WrestleMania 7.
Wow.
And it was in L.A. at the L.A. Sports Arena, and it was also Taker's first WrestleMania too. So that, needless to say.
That was the one with Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Taker worked with Jimmy Snuka that night. But I'll never forget my first WrestleMania. It was just
wow, you know. And it, God, I've got 22. Now, from 7 to 22, that's a lot of WrestleManias.
Yeah, that's 15.
So we weren't in every one. I remember, hell, all those years kind of run together. I remember me and Taker weren't in WrestleMania 10. That was at Madison Square Gardens. I remember that distinctly. We'd done the Fan Festival. I think it was the first year they'd done that Fan Fest deal, WrestleMania 10. I might be wrong. I know a lot of the listeners out there, they'll know right away. But I think we had one of those Fan Festivals, a couple-day Fan Fest right before WrestleMania. Me and Taker done the Fan Fest, but the day of WrestleMania, we flew out and went to Japan. Just Taker and I spent a few days out over in Japan doing some working over there. And but I right off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you how many WrestleManias I've been in. I know I've been in. I was in a lot, and what a blessing! What a great career I had, I'm just so blessed, so happy for it.
They're great, but you don't get to see a lot of managers anymore, and that's too bad because I really do miss the managers. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, I have thoughts about it. I miss them too, because I grew up the old school way. I grew up watching managers, and mm-hmm. my Lord, if it wasn't for the managers, I never would have had a spot in the business. And, of course, Bobby Heenan has always been my hero, and now he's a dear friend of mine, and that's who I patterned Percy Pringle out after. My first few years when I'd done that character, I bleached my hair like Bobby, I wore the outfits like Bobby, and there were some great talents, and I like J.C. Dykes and Infernos, and all these managers that I saw through the years, and there are no more. I don't know. It's too, I would love to see them come back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Seems like things cycle around. Maybe they'll come back.
Yeah, I guess so. But then, Les, maybe me and you've talked about this before, too. In fact, I think we have. Who does today's, your average young guy today, or girl, that watches the business, that all they see is the wrestlers. I mean, I got to watch Bobby Heenan. I got to watch J.C. Dykes and Ken Ramey and the interns, and they don't have nobody to watch. So how can they learn, unless they got somebody to follow? I don't know. Maybe we're going to have a big gap here. I hope not. But, we can talk about this all night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You've kind of unified the independents on the Gulf Coast.
The independent scene, well, first of all, you got to consider that I was spoiled, man. For 14 years working for Vince,
right?
I was spoiled, because being blessed to walk in the Undertaker's shadow, I didn't have to worry about a lot of things,
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very lucky. I didn't have to worry about the politics and everything, because I knew Taker was going to take care of me, so I didn't have to get involved in all that BS. So I was really, really spoiled. So after I was released last summer, I started playing in independents, and it was like jumping feet first into a tank of piranhas. I'd sit backstage and watch what's going on, and I just couldn't believe, what in the hell am I doing here? But I've worked for some bad, there's good apples, there's bad apples, and I've worked for a lot of good guys out there, and there's some good promoters out there, and I'm having fun. I really am. Like I say, I'm going to St. Louis this weekend. I'll be in St. Louis on Saturday. They're having a fan fest. I don't have the details here right off the top of my head, but it's on my website. If you check my website out, the details is on there. That's PercyPringle.com. Last weekend, I was in Boston for the Millennium Wrestling Federation. That's Dan Marotti and his crew up in Boston last week. And the next week, I'm in New Jersey and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and a couple of the towns there next weekend. So I still do my thing, here now and then. Plus, I do my, like Wes said, we have our own little deal here on the Gulf Coast. And,
what did you draw? Didn't you have a show just a week or so after I was down there?
Yeah, we have a show every month in the suburbs of Mobile.
How'd you do on that one?
Oh, well, it's a small, very small venue.
Oh.
But that was my idea from the get-go. I didn't want to get too big for our britches right away, but, you put 200 people in there in standing room only.
Right.
So we kind of outgrew that building the first time we were in there. But we did a benefit for a high school here about a month or so ago, and we had 600 paid. And, that's really saying something. When you draw 600 paid on an indie show in this area,
Well,
in a lot of areas, too, that's good.
Sure.
And I brought in my old friend Kamala, old Jim Harris, and brought him in for that, which
that we came full circle there because I was Kamala's first manager, and when he first got started in the business back in 1978, Percy Pringle managed Sugar Bear Harris, you know, and so, and then here I am booking him on my show, so we got a kick out of that, that we've come full circle there. And plus, Bob Holly is a dear friend. We broke him in the business, and he lives here in Mobile, and mm-hmm. he stopped by the show. He'd done a personal appearance on the show, and he wouldn't take a dime for it, you know, but of course, he added, certainly added to the draw, too.
No, that's nice of him.
Wonder why,
but things are good.
Why wasn't he at the reunion?
He had elbow surgery, but he had pretty bad too. Some of the nerves were involved, and it turned into a major deal. And he ended up getting staph infection.
Wow, man! I didn't hear about that part.
Yeah, he was in and out of the hospital for several times, and in fact, he's just now kicking out of it. And my friend Marcel, my cousin Marcel, he wrestles down here with Marcel Pringle. Les got to meet him.
Yeah.
He just saw him yesterday, as a matter of fact. He told me how good he's looking, that he's, you know, he's looking good. Bob's a good guy.
Well, that's good.
He likes to fight.
You know, Percy.
Sure does.
Mobile has such a professional wrestling history. Going back into the 50s with, Mario Galento and Buddy Fuller put how many thousand in the stadium there?
Yeah, absolutely. My parents, you know, took me to my first wrestling match here at the live studio show. I guess I must have been probably 2 or 3 years old, and hell, I've been going ever since. But the Fuller family, the Welch family, you know, and the Fields family, and Jimmy Golden, and well, he came a little bit after. But you had Mario Glinto and the Fields brothers and Lester Welch and Roy Welch and the whole Southern crew.
Yes.
You know, they all came through the Gulf Coast area. Because, you know, just like the Florida territory, a lot of the guys like to come to work to Mobile territory because it's right, you know, it's a vacation.
Yeah.
Right here along the Gulf of the Coast, you got Pensacola Beach, you know, and everything. And Les knows. Les was here for many, many years.
Yeah, one of the most underrated workers, one of the best workers in the business, still Kenny Lucas.
You know, as soon as you said that, Les, I knew what you were going to say.
Yeah,
when I heard you say the most underrated, I knew you were going to say Ken Lucas. And you're right. What a great guy he is. I wish I could see him more than I do.
I want to take some questions from the chat room.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Rhode Island Red says, what are your memories of Royal Rumble 94 in Providence when Taker ascended to the ceiling? And can you tell us how they got Taker from the inside the coffin to the top of the building? I was there in person, and it was awesome.
Okay. But the first memory that pops into my mind is if you remember, Yokozuna opened up my urn, and a green smoke came out.
Mm-hmm.
The special effects guy, of course, they had to rig that up with a smoke bomb, and that urn is made of bronze. It's a spun bronze. It's lightweight, but it's a metal, and that damn smoke bomb made that urn so hot.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know, if you watch close, in fact, I had to hold it in my jacket, you know, like a hot pad, because I couldn't hold it with my bare hands. It was so damn hot.
Right.
And I remember having to carry that damn urn, you know, from the ring, following that casket while Undertaker was ascending into heaven, and my hands just burning to pieces. And your second half of the question is about Undertaker, how do they get into top of the ceiling and everything? Well, first of all, that wasn't Mark Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
That casket had a trap door in it. And when they put him in the casket, he slid out the trap door under the ring. And the casket was empty, and they already had a guy dressed like Taker and everything, you know, that done the stunt part of it.
Pretty cool.
You saw there. Yeah, it was cool, but, you know, wow. I don't know if that could be recreated today. I don't. That was pretty far out there, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Professor VNS wants to know if there's a Gulf Coast tape library.
No. There's not. You know, unfortunately, back in those days, they didn't have the tape. In fact, a lot of the Fields guys, the Fields boys, and Bob Kelly and Ken Lucas and those guys, they told me that, you know, that they would just record over and over the same tape over again.
Oh, man.
So if they only knew what they were doing at the time. You know, hindsight being 20/20.
Right.
But, no, there's a few matches around, and I've been lucky enough to score some. You know, I got a few of them, but there's not much out there at all.
Wow. Chris Brown says, do you see yourself getting involved in Undertaker's final match in any way?
One of my favorite quotes, and unless I've heard this 150,000 times, you just don't never. You just don't never say never.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say never, and I won't say never. And if the opportunity presents itself, you know, I'm sure. You just don't know. And when's that final match going to be? We don't know. You just don't know. You know.
Right.
And I had a great visit with Taker when they were here in Mobile 2 weeks ago. We don't get to see each other a lot. We talk on the phone, you know, as much as we can. You know, not every day, of course.
Right.
He still travels, and he has a family, and so do I, and work. But we had such a great visit, and we had such a good time. And Les can appreciate this. Les, when I got to the building in Mobile, Dusty Rhodes is there, of course, everybody, Jerry Briscoe. I walked up to Jerry Briscoe, and first thing Jerry Briscoe said to me, and Les is going to get a kick out of it, he says, I heard you sing a song over the weekend. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Les?
Yeah,
I know.
The song I sang at the reunion.
Yeah, well, he said, Doc, I got to tell you, this guy is missing a career. He's a country singer. Jones, just like George Jones, but he did a parody, which is what we're talking about
here. Right.
Yeah, and in fact, the Gulf Coast Wrestlers reunion was on Saturday, and the WWE show here in Mobile was on Tuesday, so it was like 3 days later. And I'd done a little song about the McMahon situation and what the deal was. And so when I walked in the building, they already knew about it. They'd already heard already what I had done, you know. And our little reunion is not a fan festival. It's just for the boys. It's a, quote, kayfabe, unquote, reunion, right?
Right.
Right. The first one, the boys run out to tell everybody, you should have heard what Percy did. You should have heard what Percy did. And of course, you know, Vince certainly didn't care. Hell, he paid me to open the show, you know. He don't care.
Right.
He's above all that. But anyway.
Can you tell me the, go ahead.
Fun, Doc.
Yeah. Can you tell me the Kane Can Drive story?
Oh, Lord. Where did you hear this one at? There's so many.
I read this somewhere about you and Kane driving into the arena.
Well, Glenn Jacobs, and Les knows this, he's such a fantastic guy. What a great, not only a performer, but a human being, I mean, and friend, and father, and husband. He's just an all-around great guy.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to say anything bad about Glenn Jacobs, is he's too nice of a guy for his own good.
Yeah.
But when he first started doing that gimmick, you know, I love to kid around, have a good time and everything, and I would, you know, rib him all the time, and just little things. Anyway, long story short, we were in San Diego, and I remember it vividly, and all the fans, there must have been a couple hundred fans waiting outside the building where
mm-hmm.
the wrestlers come in, just to see the boys come in and out and get autographs and pictures and all that. So I don't remember exactly what led up to it. For some reason, normally I drove all the time, but for some reason I can't remember what happened. Kane happened to be driving that day, and so as we pulled in, you know, he goes, "Oh hell, I don't have my mask on." I said, "Here, put your towel over your head." So here's Kane, you know, with a towel over his head, and he's got it pulled tight. Oh, he's peeking out through this little hole, you know. So we're driving through this crowd, and there's people lined up on both sides. I mean, just real close to the car. And some of them would beat on the hood of the car as we go by and everything. I roll all the windows down and go, Kane Can Drive! Oh, yes! I'm hanging at the windows of the fan going, love Kane Can Drive it! And he's going, I don't want to use the words he was saying. You know, get your ass back in the damn car, shut your damn mouth. Oh, yes, Kane Can Drive! So, it's one of those you had to be there stories, you know. I can tell you the story, but you just had to be there to appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was really, really funny. But we had so much fun. There's so many stories to tell.
Rhode Island Red wants to know your thoughts on the fake Undertaker angle.
Hindsight being 2020, so it was horrible.
Really?
You know, me looking back at it now, while it was going on, I didn't, you know, I seemed to be okay. But now, if I look at it now, it just seems so, you know. Brian Lee was so much smaller than Taker. You know, at the time I really didn't realize it. But if I look at the picture now, you know, he was really so much smaller than Mark. But that's pretty much my thoughts. It was one of those things, and we were constantly, you know, doing things to keep things going, whether it was the fake Undertaker or, gosh, look at all the stuff that we've done through the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the run we had with the Ultimate Warrior, and then Hogan, and Kamala, and, oh, Lord, the worst of all, Giant Gonzalez. Oh. Now, I remember that WrestleMania. It was in Las Vegas. I don't remember what number it was, but it was WrestleMania whatever in Las Vegas. Taker versus Giant Gonzalez. Oh, it was the most horrible piece of
wearing the suit with the muscles painted on.
Oh, right. God. That was... Oh, let's move on.
That's what I would have to wear if I was a pro wrestler, a suit with built-in muscles. Will Lawson wants to know if you worked with Undertaker before coming to WWE.
Oh, absolutely. This is another. You know, I was Taker's first manager in his first match in the Sportatorium in Dallas.
Ah.
When he first started, Bruiser Brody was booking at the time, and this big old freckle-faced kid, stopped by and wanted to sit in the bus sword and be training him in his backyard, which was true. He was, and he stopped by and wanted a chance. And Brody said, "Well, come back next week, and maybe we'll do something with you." So the kid came back next week, and he says, "Yeah, okay." He said, "Percy, you go out. First of all, you put a mask on. We're going to call you Texas Red. Percy's going to go to the ring with you, and you're going to wrestle me."
Mm-hmm.
So Mark went out there and wrestled Brody, and Brody beat the dog poop out of him. Oh, Lord. All those wooden chairs. He broke wooden chairs over. He just beat the hell out of him. And if you would ask Mark today his memories of that, why Percy went to the ring with you, he'll tell you, I swear. He'll tell you the only reason that Frank sent me to the ring with him that night was to show him the way back to the dressing room. Because Frank really broke him in right that night.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. So The Undertaker and I, so that tells you how far we go back.
Mm.
So when Vince put us together, it was just, the chemistry was just there. It was truly a blessing. And what a ride, man. What a ride.
Yeah. Aaron Styles wants to know if you think Vince Russo is good for business.
Well... You know, everybody's got their own opinion, and I certainly have mine about a lot of people. You know, it seems like the guys that the wrestling world really thinks bad about, the ones that hate, that I've never had a problem with. You know, such as Ultimate Warrior. You know, Jim Hellwig. The wrestling world, the internet, they hate him, and I never had a problem with him. I managed him early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Dallas, and maybe that's why. When we had to run with Taker with him. You know, that's a possibility, too. But I never had a problem with Russo. When I first met him, he was hanging out the back door of the arenas, you know, doing a radio show,
uh-huh.
You know, and I never had a problem with him. And like I said, Taker and I, we didn't have to worry about a lot of the politics because our stuff was pretty cut and dry, you know. Taker had a spot there, so Russo didn't write any of our stuff. I've never needed any interview that was ever scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Vince thought that much of us, you know, where he gave us, we had bullet points and we had the freedom to go with it. And so I never had to memorize an interview. I walk backstage now and I see, my God, to see my one of my favorites of all times, Ric Flair, and he still is, Ric Flair staying in the corner memorizing an interview.
Mm.
Now, Les, is something wrong with that picture?
Yes, there's something terribly
exactly.
wrong with it.
So back to the Russo question, I've never had a problem with Vince. I know I can understand people that have, and I can understand why. I've done one of his shows. He had one of his Ring of Glory shows here 3 or 4 months ago up in Rome, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I went up and worked a show for him, and everything was fine. I don't have a problem. I pretty much call it spade to spade, and if I don't like somebody, I'll tell you, and I just never had a problem with it.
Right. Question in the chat room, is it true you were a real Undertaker, and what made go ahead.
I still am.
Yeah.
I have a degree in mortuary science. I'm a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and in fact, I'm working in that business today.
He wants to know what made you want to go to school for embalming.
Well, it's something you know, just like wrestling, there's always been two things in my life. There was always wrestling and the funeral business, and I can't explain either one. It's something that I always had a fascination with both businesses, and I've been blessed to have success in both businesses, and I'm still doing that today. I have an association here with a funeral home here, you know, here in Mobile, And I'm still doing wrestling. Here I am sitting out in front of my own wrestling school, and I'm working in a funeral home during the day. So, oh, yes! What a cheat, huh?
What a career. What a career.
I'm telling you.
Matt Rat wants to know if world-class promotion was the beginning of your career.
No, I don't think so. I was given the Percy Pringle name in 1978. By Frankie Kane, the great Mephisto.
Mm-hmm.
He was booking the it was called International Championship Wrestling. They ran the whole state of Mississippi at the time, but Watts kind of broke that off there for a little while, and it became its own territory. We had TV all over the state and ran 6 days a week. I started there, Michael Hayes started there, Terry Gordy started there, Kamala started there, Riff Rogers started there, and we were just young kids, and we had a lot of great teachers to learn our craft from. And from there, I was there a little over a year or so. Then I went to Japan, my first tour of Japan. And while my wife was pregnant, and we just got married. We had been married for a little over a year, and she was pregnant. The day I got back from Japan, she had gave birth to our oldest son, who's now 26 years old. And after that, I had a change of thought there. I knew that I had to have something solid to fall back on. I knew that wrestling wasn't going to be able to feed my baby and my wife. So
right.
I quit for a while, went back to college, and that's when I got my degree in mortuary science during that time. And well, another long story short, I guess my first big break came in 1985, and that's when I went to work for Florida Championship Wrestling out of Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Graham was still there then, and I was there when Eddie Graham passed away. We were there during that time. So I got to work with Gordon Sully and of course, Les, you know, when I say that name, Gordon Sully, you know, the best, without a doubt, the best, you know. So I got to work with a lot of good talent down there, you know, and I'm talking about Dusty Rhodes, you know, the Kevin Sullivans and the Mike Browns and,
mm-hmm.
and all those. So then from there, I got the call, me and Rick Rude got the call to go to Dallas for Ken Mantell for the Von Erichs, and the rest is history. This is the puzzle. There's a piece that's all the puzzle is all filled together. And then 6 years later, you know, I went to Vince, and here we are today in 2006. And
yeah,
we're still doing it.
Absolutely. Here's a question from the chat room. What are your memories of managing the Missing Link? And could you tell us about the time you were with him in a nudist colony?
Oh, we were with him in nudist colony numerous occasions.
Really?
Dewey Robertson and his family, his wife and his two sons, they were nudists, and they lived in a nudist camp. And it was a very unique situation, to say the least, because I've never experienced anything like that. And Lincoln invited Rick Rude and myself to come out on a weekend and have a barbecue at the nudist colony, you know?
Uh-huh.
Gosh. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, it's, you know, what can I say? I mean, from kids to grandpas and grandmas, they're all naked. And they were really interested. They wanted to see they already knew I wasn't going to take my damn clothes off, first of all.
Right.
They wanted to see if Mr. Good-looking Rick Rude was going to take his clothes off, right? He went down to his wrestling tights, and he didn't go any lower than that. But, talking about some really fun people. You know, I guess if you can walk, if you can live nude and work nude and play nude, and you don't have any inhibitions at all,
right.
Obviously.
Right.
So the people are really unique there. I mean, really, I don't know how to explain it, except, and we went back on numerous times, and we had such a good time, and I don't, you know, it just became, Dewey was a nudist, and that was him. That's what he did.
Right. I never knew that about him.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
WrestleFan wants to know if you could talk about your relationship and your friendship with Owen Hart.
Wow, you know, what a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier we said something about my favorite, my favorite WrestleMania, my favorite this, or my favorite that. The other day when I was in Boston, I done a Q&A question and answer session with the fans. And one of the fans asked me a question I'd never been asked before, and they asked, what was my worst moment in the business? And I had to think for a second, and the answer came quick with the night that Owen Hart died.
Yeah.
I'll just never forget it. The Undertaker and myself, we were in the main event that night with Steve Austin, and we were in a dressing room by ourselves, me and Steve and Taker, and we were going over the finish for the night, and JBL, John Bradshaw, stuck his head through the door, and I'll never forget. I can see it right now. If I close my eyes and look on his face, he goes, man, the one just fell, and we don't think he's going to make it.
Wow.
And Steve and myself and Taker, we just stayed right where we were. We didn't want to get up and go look. We just stayed right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, the show went on, and we were in the main event. We had to follow that horrible, horrible incident, and I'd done my best. I'd done my best not to look up. You know, I stood right in the corner where Owen fell. That's where I was standing at during that match. You know, his blood was still on the canvas, and I looked up, and then I talking to people afterwards, and my God, you know, I had some people told me, they said, Percy, he screamed all the way down.
Oh.
And I have goosebumps right now just thinking about somebody telling me that. He screamed all the way down. What a horrible, horrible thing, and what a disaster, and what a fantastic family, the Hart family. I love them to death, and gosh, I miss him so. May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Lukey B. says, how did you breathe in the box with cement at American Bash when Taker lost to the Dudleys?
Well, that was kind of, that's really a complicated story there. I'm trying to find the vocabulary to explain this to you, because it wasn't a simple thing, and I'm trying to make it really simple and not take up a lot of your time. My part of it was pre-taped.
Mm-hmm.
We pre-taped my part of it earlier in the day. I was in the box, and there was nobody that cleared the arena out. There was nobody in the arena except those that were directly involved in the stunt that we were doing. I had it was a real cement mixer. It was, the cement was like 75% all cement. It had a bunch of oatmeal mixed in it to make it look real chunky and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. Instead of putting the rocks and stuff in, they put oatmeal in it instead to give it the texture. It was a very dangerous gun. If something went wrong, it would kill me.
Right.
It was so dangerous that I had a button in my hand. I had to keep pressed the whole time. If I ever let go of this button, it set off some lights off the set there. And they would come with sledgehammers and bust me out.
Ooh.
Well, long story short, they dumped the cement on me, and we did what we did. And I took the cement up to one of my chins. I said, one of my chins, Ryan. I don't have as many as I used to have, but I took the cement up to one of my chins, and that's where and that's where my portion of it ended.
Uh-huh.
During the live show, they had a stuntman that they brought in from Hollywood. That they made up to look like me, and so on television, when they would show the long shots, it was a stuntman in the box, and when they showed the close-ups, it was a pre-tape through the magic of television that we had taped earlier in the day.
Wow!
And the people in the house didn't. I never heard any feedback off that at all. The people in the house never said anything about it. They didn't. It was so well done. They didn't know, you know, exactly what was going on. So the stuntman was the guy that had the cement go completely over his head, not me. And he was only under the cement for just a matter of seconds before, you know, they got him out of there.
Right.
But what experience that was.
What a dangerous stunt.
You know, it was very dangerous, and it was very scary, and it was very emotional, too. You know, it was, they paid me well.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't spent it all, but they paid me well.
Shock says that you seem to have a mutual love and respect for Eric Embry. Do you still keep in touch with him?
Not as often as I would like. We exchange emails every now and then. He's back in Kentucky, where he's from. He's born and raised in Kentucky. He ran for sheriff here a couple of years ago. He didn't win, but he's married and got kids, and it has nothing to do with wrestling anymore, you know, really. And a real nice guy. He was in the right place at the right time in Dallas, you know, following all those tragedies with the Von Erich family. And he had the look, you know, for those of you that out there that had seen him and watched him in action, he just looked like the old school wrestler, you know, just
mm-hmm.
just a pair of trunks, a pot belly, and boots. And he was just a working man's kind of hero there. And it worked. You know, we put some people back in the sportatorium there for a little while, and it worked for a little while. And he had a good mind for the business, and he's a great guy.
Here's another question from the chat room. It said, Percy, I cried when you turned against The Undertaker at SummerSlam 96. Did you feel different walking back to the dressing room with Mankind?
Yeah, I cried too. I did, for real.
Really?
No, I remember it was the last house show that we did before that. was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we knew that that was the last show that we were going to be working together, you know, doing that. And that was a little emotional time there. But the that was the Hell in the Cell match there. And similar to what we've done with the Concrete Crypt thing that we did at the American Bash, that, you know, a lot of people might not know this, that Hell in the Cell match was pre-taped.
Really?
That match, the Hell in the Cell match was pre-taped the night before. And really, yes, it was. And the only part that was live was after when we were fighting in the boiler room, brawl deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was all pre-taped the night before. And then when they fought out of the boiler room, I think they knocked over a big pot of coffee or something, that's when it went live. And then they were live all the way out to the ring. And
yeah, I heard that some of it was pre-taped, a lot of the stuff in the boiler
room. The whole scenario inside the boiler room was all pre-taped the night before the show.
It was kind of weird not to have commentary on it, though.
Yeah, it was. That was something different, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I'm on a cell phone. There's a little delay there, so I apologize if I walk over you.
It was just like a concept that really hadn't been used in a long time. And it was the first time I had seen it. I didn't see the Jerry Lawler empty arena match. So it was different for me.
I've worked in some empty arenas before. Have you, Les?
It wasn't planned that way, but yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
What did you think of the Kane biography that WWE put out?
I didn't read it.
No.
I got a copy of it. They sent me a copy of it. I opened up the first page, and the first damn thing I saw was Katie Vick. I closed the thing up and stuck it up on my bookshelf, and I haven't opened it since. I swear on my grandchild. That's the absolute truth.
Oh, man.
Now, I've heard a lot of good things about his movie that's come out. I've seen the trailer, and I've talked to him about it, and I hear this is pretty decent. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting concept. And Kane is a monster is just typecasting. He would really be good in a role like that.
And I think it's going to be much better than Taker's movie that he made. What was Taker's movie made? Suburban Commander?
Suburban Commander
with Hulk Hogan. Do you remember that when he played an alien?
Mm-hmm.
He talked like a mouse. I'm going to kill you, Mandy. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're too young for that. You don't remember that.
No,
the listeners out there probably won't even remember that.
No, I remember that movie. It was 88, I believe.
Wow. Damn, I'm old.
Kristen said, you said you were excited for Taker's match at WrestleMania. Are there any others that you're anxious to see?
Do you have the card?
I do have the card.
Seriously, what are some of the other matches? I don't know the whole damn card.
Michael
swear,
and Vince.
Who?
Michael and Vince.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about that. Well, go ahead.
JBL and Benoit.
That should be interesting. That has potential.
Yeah.
And, Kane and the Big Show versus Chris Masters and Carlito.
Hmm. Maybe.
Trish Stratus versus Mickey James. Woo.
Right.
Right.
I saw Trish Stratus was on CNN last night.
Really?
Yeah. It was on the entertainment show they have at night on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing an interview with her and everything, Not to change the subject, but this happened to cross my mind. I want to tell you this.
Sure.
I'm sure some of the listeners out there probably saw it, too. The guy that was interviewing her says, well, you know, everything is all scripted, right? Do you already know who's going to win? And she said, yeah. All right, let's move on. What's the next match?
I know. We've got Boogeyman versus Booker T and Charmel. Don't know if you've seen much of the Boogeyman.
Yeah, I've seen him eat their worms and everything. I met him for the first time when they were here in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be a very, very nice guy and very intelligent guy. And
is he really missing them teeth in the front? There's a lot of argument back and forth about that.
Well, when I met him, he didn't have any teeth.
Yeah. Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio.
That will be good.
Oh, yeah.
That would be interesting.
John Cena versus Triple H for the championship is the main event.
Yeah. It should turn out to be a pretty good show.
Yeah. Edge versus Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
I know that they sure are inducting a hell of a lot of guys to the Hall of Fame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every time I turn around, they're, it seems like they're inducting 20 people in. I don't know the real count, but every time I turn around, they're putting more people in the Hall of Fame, you know.
It seems like there's a lot more this year than there was last year.
To me, it seemed like it's diluting it a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
If you just have just a few and make it special instead of having, you know, a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean.
Right.
Maybe less is more. So, not less Thatcher, but maybe less is more. Maybe less is more. Maybe, never mind. Let's forget that. I was trying to, never mind. Let's move on.
You know, that celebrity wing thing, they made Pete Rose in their Hall of Fame, and now they're going to put the refrigerator, Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrity wing.
Yeah. I think that kind of detracts.
Yes. It's not going to be as special when Percy makes it.
Well, I.
There's so many people in there.
Managers are allowed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my thoughts on that, you know, is that I don't want to go in until Taker goes in. I think that we need to go in at the same time.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I really do. And I hope that's the way they do it.
VNS wants to know if you're going to write a book about your wrestling career. He says, what would you call it? May I suggest, oh, yes.
Well, I'm under one of those WWE Legends contracts, you know, for the next 5 years and maybe longer, and they got the rights to the book. So I've been working on a book for years, you know, here and there, and we could take the pieces and put it together. So WWE's got the first rights to it. So we shall see what happens there. But, we probably could call it I Earn My Living, You Are In My Living.
I Earn My Living. That's a good one. Let's see. Memories of managing Mankind at WWE.
We just had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a total fun time with him because we have a history there too, you know. He had his early start in his early years out in Dallas too. So I knew him when he was first doing the Cactus Jack character out in Dallas. So we had some stories to share from those days. But we just had so much fun. You know, when I was out there with Taker all the time, I had a lot of fun out there with Taker too, because I could do whatever I wanted to. And my main aim was trying to make Taker laugh.
Right.
And I'd get out there and do everything I could to make him laugh, and he'd come back sometime where he bit his lip so hard it was almost bleeding trying to keep him laughing. but with the deal with Mankind, you know, he wore that mask and everything, and we just had a good time. And then there for a little while, you know, they brought Terry Gordy in as the executioner. Just to see, you know, how he was going to do. And
right.
like I said earlier, you know, Terry Gordy and myself and Michael Hayes, and we all started together. And then Terry's not with us anymore. You know, he's on that list with all the other guys, and we don't need to get into that.
Right.
But, It was fun. We had a good time.
Last time you were on the show, we were talking about the riots and stuff that had happened. Now, I remember about maybe 6 or 7 years ago on an episode of Raw, a lady jumped over the barrier when you were making your way down to the ring and attacked you during Raw. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. She had heard about it. It's all a rumor, though, and it's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
That took me a second to get that, but
okay. You know, she had heard that, but it wasn't true. You know, I was so damn fat. You know, I had to, never mind. She never hurt me. She never made contact with me or anything. Thank God.
You know,
she'd have beat the hell out of me if she did.
That's
for damn sure.
Didn't that just bring back memories of the time when people were so into the show that they actually start riots and things
absolutely.
Like that?
I'm sure Les has a lot of stories in those days, too. Back in the day, we didn't have barricades. You had to fight if you were the heel, you had to fight your way back to the dressing room. And especially down south here, you know, the walk from the dressing room back to the... walk from the ring back to the dressing room was so dangerous. I mean, these rednecks would have their hands in their pockets on their knives,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'd see them. You'd see their hand with their knife in their hand. And, it was scary. We got run out of a few towns in our day. It's been those little towns in Mississippi back up in the country, you know, and the cops were all fans too, and they were after us too. So, you know, we'd do our thing and get the hell out of there.
Oh yeah.
But what a learning experience, you know. That was old school wrestling.
Yeah.
That, you know, one that was
lady,
old school.
One lady jump at the barrier now is nothing.
No. No.
Well, we've gone way over time, but I really appreciated having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
It's been a real great interview. And say hello, you know, to your wife and your family for me, and I hope they're doing well.
And Les, we love you, my friend, and we hope to have you down here in maybe a few months, maybe later
good
this summer,
man.
And do one of the seminars with us.
I'm going to see you in Vegas in June anyway.
And I hope so.
That's
so,
right.
Y'all take care, my friends, and have a good evening. It's always a pleasure. God bless.
You too.
To all the kids in the gym, I said hello, and good luck, and God bless them.
Y'all have a great night.
Right, you
take
too.
Take care, my friends.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Percy Pringle here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Check out his website at percypringle.com. Les, it's time to play the game.
What's the game, Doc?
The game is called the prediction game.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna get down to this. We got, I don't know, we got a little time to fill before we get to Missy Hyatt on the show. Let me get my pen and paper, because
okay.
We're gonna write these down.
All right. Everyone freeze while Doc gets his pen and paper.
And you have to, yeah, everyone just calm down, and the show's gonna keep going. No, but you have to choose a winner in every match, including the women's matches this time, Les.
All right, Doc.
I
know what you're anticipating. I know why you're buying Mania.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to start off with Tori Wilson versus Candice Michelle in a Playboy pillow fight.
See, that's the match of the day for you, right?
No, actually, the Mickie James Trish Stratus thing is. You know,
okay.
Yeah, well, come on, it's Mickie James.
Candice is the freshest diva on the cover of Rolling Stone, you know, Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's got to go over it. That would be the logic.
That would, yeah, because I'm actually going to go with a no contest. I don't think anybody's going to win out of this.
All right.
I'm gonna go off the charts here and say that it's going to be a no contest.
All right. Well, see, you're a more connoisseur of that type of match. I have a problem looking at the lovely lady.
Right. Boogeyman versus Booker T and Charmel. It's a handicap match.
God forbid. I think that they're going to run, and Boogeyman wins on a count out.
Okay, you got...
God forbid. But
Boogeyman.
That's going to happen.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Booker T and Charmel. I think they got a trick up their sleeve that they might use.
They won't have any sleeves on.
The women's championship, it's Trish Stratus versus Mickie James.
Well, Trish has to win it, I think. I don't know. Maybe they'll put the strap on Mickie for a while. That's a hard call.
Yeah,
you know,
it really is.
They've kind of paid more attention to their storyline than they do some of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that to be gender disrespectful, but I mean, you know, like some of the guys that are higher up on the card, they don't seem to put that much thought into their stories.
Yeah, like Benoit and JBL.
Yeah,
for instance.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a hard call. You know, maybe in a surprise upset, Mickie James.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with too. I kind of think. With the thought that they're putting into this, I think that they're trying to shake up the women's division a little bit, and a new champion would help that.
Okay.
World Tag Team Championship match, Kane and The Big Show versus Chris Masters and Carlito.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm following here, but I'm thinking my first thought would be Kane and Show.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go that way. I tell you, the other guys are all right, comedy duo, but you know, in the real world of professional wrestling,
it would be a squash match, bro.
Well, it may not be a squash match, but the Carlito Masters, interplay wouldn't take as much, wouldn't mean as much. By they may put the belts on them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see him being that strong.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Masters and Carlito. I think there's going to be an upset.
That's...
You want to know the truth?
What's that?
I don't know.
The U.S. Championship match, Chris Benoit versus JBL.
I got to keep the strap on going, Chris. Although, you know what? You know, that's a sentimental favorite, but I think Wash Bradshaw, they may put the strap on him and give him a run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's possible. I'm going to go ahead and go with Benoit on this one. Edge versus Mick Foley in a hardcore match.
Edge over.
You got Edge?
Well, it doesn't make sense. I mean, unless Mick's coming back full time, it doesn't make any sense.
Right, but he did. He did beat.
He did, huh?
He beat Carlito, I believe.
Okay.
At the last pay per view. So.
And what's your point?
Well, you said unless he was coming back full time, it doesn't make sense for him to win. But he did beat Carlito at the last pay per view, and he's not coming back full time.
Yeah, but I think they see Edge as a higher in the food chain.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
As a bigger player than Carlito right at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate with you because I'm going to go with Edge also.
You just wanted to mess with my head. I understand. No, it's all right, Doc. It's all right. I understand.
This is a game of wit, my friend.
Okay. Well, I've come unarmed. Go ahead.
Undertaker versus Mark Henry in a casket match.
Taker.
Yeah, me too. Undertaker, definitely. The Money in the Bank ladder match. Do you know the participants?
Do I know what?
Do you know the participants for the Money in the Bank?
I know. RVD, mm-hmm. Lashley, Finley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who else?
The Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All six of them bad boys going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Flair's got the strap currently, right?
Shelton Benjamin has it.
Okay, Shelton's got it. I don't know. That's where I'd leave it if it were up to me.
Yeah.
On Shelton.
Well, this isn't an IC title match. This is for the Money in the Bank. The winner gets a
title shot.
A title shot for the world
title
championship.
Title of his choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then who are you going to elevate out of that bunch?
Yeah, that's the question.
Or are you going to put Flair over?
I don't know. I'm going to go with RVD. I think they're pushing him pretty hard lately, and I think they're going to go with him on this one.
All right. Okay. I don't know. That's again. I don't know what they're thinking. So that. Wow.
Okay. Mr. McMahon versus Shawn Michaels. No holds barred match.
Well, I think Michaels has to get over here.
Yeah, definitely. And McMahon's been getting over on him so long. Michaels needs that payback at the big show. Send everybody home happy. So I'm gonna also go with Michaels on that one. And the World Heavyweight Championship, Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio in a triple threat match.
Angle.
You're going to go with Angle?
Yeah.
I'm also going with Angle on that one. He's just the man. That's why. That's my only reason, because he's the man.
Well, you know, he hasn't had the belt all that long, so it doesn't do him any good to, you know, be a transitional champion. I don't think that's the way to go with him.
Right. A lot of people saying it's Randy Orton's time.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to find out on Sunday. Here's the big question. John Cena versus Triple H for the WWE Championship.
I guess the way the breeze is blowing, everybody thinks Triple H is going over. I might as well join the majority.
I'm going to join them also. I think Triple H has been without a belt for a long time. And hopefully it's long enough to satisfy the crowds. But he wants it back, and it's his. And,
okay. All right. And if trademarked King of Kings.
Yes. Don't forget the trademark part. You always gotta say
although that was a biblical movie, I think, at one point, King of Kings.
King of Kings.
About Jesus Christ, yes. But, no, I'm not making comparison. I'm just...
Right. All right, so that's the lineup for WrestleMania, and those are our picks. So next week we're going to find out just
for
who is right.
For worse, for richer, for poorer, or for whatever.
just who was there, but WrestleMania. Don't forget to watch it Sunday, April 2nd at 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's a special start time, 7 o'clock Eastern, from Chicago, Illinois. It's going to be live.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we're going to have our featured guest, the First Lady of Wrestling, Missy Hyatt's going to be on the show right after this. Stick around, guys.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trade Dog here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out our brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it rip.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a freaking bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
And now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video video interviews, and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our special featured guest. It's Missy Hyatt, the First Lady of Wrestling. Missy, I want to thank you for being on the program today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Missy Hyatt, I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, it's been a long, long time.
Yes, and so we got a place to catch up. did you just open a new website or just change your website, you and Francine?
No, mine and Francine. No, we've had it for a couple years now.
Okay.
And what's the name of your website?
It's Missy Hyatt and FrancineTV.com.
Missy Hyatt and FrancineTV.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. Tell us about it. What kind of services and features are there?
The main thing is kind of like reality because we have a lot of videos. And that's the main thing. You know, we have pictures and we do chats and there's a poker, like Francine has poker night.
Oh, that's
when,
cool.
You know, play with the members and stuff. And, you know, different things like that. But the main thing is, like, we do all these really great videos. And some videos, different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We do a whole section of, like, you know, the myths of my breasts. And what they can and can't do, you know, like flotation devices, you know, and if I jogged, would I get black eyes, you know, and just, you know, those kind of things. So I, you know, tested it to see,
got
in the water, I jogged, I tested, all the myths. So we do a lot of funny stuff. And then we take the camera with us on the road. We go to autograph sessions and wrestling shows. And the other night, we were at a show and we were taping and I took the camera to the ring with me.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
As we were going to the ring, but just fun stuff like that.
That's cool. I know you charge a premium for this.
No, it's not a lot. It's only $9.99 a month.
Oh, I didn't mean a premium. I meant you did charge, though.
Yeah.
But, we get to talk to Missy Hyatt for free, Les.
Hey.
Everybody else got to pay to chat with her.
Times change, what can I say? Missy, what year did you start in the business?
God, make me tell. No, 1985.
85.
Wow.
Okay. Of everybody you worked with, everybody you worked the corner with, who was your favorite?
Are you talking about promoter or guy? Or
guy.
Yeah. You mean the guy that I managed or whatever?
Yeah.
It had to be Eddie Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess that's what you would probably say. He was,
what?
I said, I guess that was what you would probably say. Eddie was a very, very talented man.
Oh, no, I said it even when he was still alive, so.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about Missy's manner?
Oh, gosh.
Is that a bad memory for you?
No, it's not a bad memory. It's just I was so bad because I was still new and green, in wrestling. And, I didn't know that when you interviewed someone, you have to, hand them the microphone, give it to them so they could talk into it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was doing. It was bad. I was new and I was green and I didn't get the opportunity to learn or have someone teach me or something. So,
would you think that you made the biggest name for yourself in world class?
I'm sorry, what?
Would you feel that you made the biggest name for yourself in world class wrestling?
Or UWF?
Mm-hmm.
I think there that's where it started because they were syndicated a lot, and then when I went to WCW.
Did you enjoy doing the commentary and so forth? Hello? Missy?
Yes.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, hello. Can you hear me all right? Can you hear
me? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Did you enjoy doing commentary?
Hello?
Are you there, Missy? I think we're losing her.
I think we have.
Yeah. I can hear you, and then I can't hear you.
Oh. Must be cell phone connection or something like that. He was asking if you enjoy doing commentary.
Oh, I love doing commentary. That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing that. When I got to do it in the AW, oh gosh, what was it? That AWF or something. I forget. But I love doing the commentary. They're like the Missy Does the Mail, the segments, and things like that. I love doing the segments and the wraparound and doing the interviews for, like, the pay-per-views and the Clash of the Champions. I had a blast doing that.
Mm-hmm. So you're still good friends with Francine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have our website together. She's the best.
Wake up, Doc.
Well, yeah, you can have a website together and you can work together, but,
okay.
I mean,
she's
like your best.
Oh, yeah, but then I just, like, I hate her or something, of course.
Well, no, not
she's one of my good friends.
But she's like your best friend, all right?
Yeah.
That poses another question. You and Tammy had a website together at one time, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
What happened there?
The guy that we had it with sold everything. He just came out with another DVD and high spots and stuff, and he stole so much. But I've had, like, the district attorney and talked to a lawyer and stuff like that. We're just letting him hang himself.
Wow.
As far as money, he stole money or he stole the
product? Oh, yeah, a lot of money.
Oh.
Because it was a pay site.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the DVDs and, I don't know, he had rigged up somehow. He was stealing, like, saying that it was, like, I forget, like, $4,000 a month to the side or something, putting money in one pocket and out of another, and I don't know, he was just ripping us off blind.
Mm-hmm. So Tammy wanted
and
out.
Then for the DVDs, he was doing those through a credit card machine, and we never got paid for that, so.
Ew.
It's a lot of money, but.
So Tammy wanted out after that?
I'm sorry, what?
So Tammy wanted out after that?
No, I pulled it off the site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pulled it off the web.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out everything was going on, I went to rehab and got sober, and I've been sober like 2 years and 7 months, and then I started checking out stuff and figuring out that he was screwing around, so I just pulled it off the net.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew was the webmaster, and I just told him, yank it. I'm not letting this guy make any more money off of it.
Right.
And he still did, after we yanked it off from iBill. You know, he still made money, even after we told iBill, you know, do not put any money in this account.
You're still going to college. What's your major? Are you playing in law school or something?
No. I've been taking all my prerequisites to get into nuclear medicine. And that's what I've been applying to. I've applied to, like, 9 hospitals/schools up in the New York area. And last week I took a test. I've taken 2 tests and had an interview. So I'm just...
I want to take a couple questions from the chat room. I know you're cutting in and out, but hopefully you can hear us and stuff. Lukey B wants to know, what are your thoughts on how women's wrestling has changed and how all the divas now pose in Playboy?
I was never a woman wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just like, when I did it, I was just one of the girls that did the cat fighting. So, I mean, women wrestling to me has changed just like men wrestling. It's gotten really serious. It's gotten really, like, those girls are doing some crazy wild moves. I would not do at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can get hurt. I mean, it's just like the longevity of people nowadays is not very long anymore.
Yeah, that's true. How did you like managing the Nasty Boys in WCW? Do you think that you guys fit well together?
It was okay. I really wanted to manage the Hollywood Blondes, but since Jason Hervey was friends with Eric Bischoff, that kind of, you know, squished that for me.
Well, you had a relationship with Jason Hervey, right?
Yeah, we lived together for about 2 years.
So you think that that's the reason you didn't get to...
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason and I became friends years later. And he told me.
Matt Rat says, do you remember who was in Hyatt Inc.?
Hyatt Inc.?
Mm-hmm.
We had hot stuff in Hyatt International.
Yeah, I think that's what he means.
Oh, well, Hot Stuff in Hyatt had, you know, Eddie Gilbert, Sting, Rick Steiner, John Tatum, and Jack Victory.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your feud with Sunshine opened a lot of doors for women in wrestling? That comes from VNS.
Oh, God, I don't know. I wish it would have. But it seems to me that still no other promoter besides Ken Mantell and them knew how to work with women and knew how to use women right. They still don't know how to use women right.
Mm-hmm.
They still put girls in stupid bra and panty matches that don't mean anything, and they don't have women as managers
right. To
make them mean anything. They just have them all this fluff stuff.
Yeah, back in the day, but you did the dirt.
I guess so.
You had to get your hands dirty back in the day.
Hey, listen, those girls that are wrestling now, though, that's pretty tough stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we did. We didn't know what we were doing in there.
Rhode Island Red wants to know, do you blame Eric Bischoff for breaking up you and Jason Hervey? And can you comment on why?
Not at all.
No.
Me and Jason, they broke up, and, you know, Jason was friends with Eric, so.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all.
So things didn't go well after that.
No. If I was to stay with Jason, probably wouldn't have had all the problems that I have, but, you know. And that's a shame, because Jason, you know, he was like he was the best boyfriend I ever had, and he's the boyfriend I have now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, up until then, I thought Jason was like the best boyfriend.
Do you, Lukey B says, do you think you'll ever make an appearance at TNA?
I doubt it. I mean, they know. I mean, it's like, everybody knows where I'm at, not too far. I live in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
So, I doubt it.
Your thoughts on Bill Watts and Ric Flair?
Bill Watts, I think, what an idiot. He got caught sleeping with Dark Journey and he had to give up his company. And he ended up still getting a divorce. So he's just a jabroni idiot. Ric Flair, I mean, hey, he's the nature boy. He's, you know,
mm-hmm.
great champion. Yeah, I think he's funny.
If you had to manage one tag team right now, who would it be?
You mean back then, or what do you mean, like right now?
Now.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't watch WWE, so I really don't know what's going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How come?
Because, I don't know, she's kind of boring to me. You know, they have these people that aren't wrestling writers trying to write stuff, and they start stuff, and they don't finish it. And they used to write some really good stuff. Monday Night Raw used to be my favorite show. And it would be like they would, you know, leave you hanging,
right.
You know, and it was kind of like the old UWF shows, and they'd leave you hanging. And you'd be like, oh, gosh, you couldn't wait till the next week to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's just kind of like, eh. So, I don't know. You pick a tag team for me that I could manage.
Oh, okay. Shock wants to know your thoughts on your announcing partnership with Jim Ross and WCW.
Well, you know what? I really liked co-hosting the show, but I didn't like doing color because I wasn't that good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even listen to my own self for a whole hour, listen to myself talk, so I didn't really like it that much. But I loved doing all the stand-ups with Jim. I had such a great time. He taught me a lot. Was it for Jim, I would have never got to do that. So he gave me an opportunity, and he was really a great professional to work with and taught me a lot.
W. Lawson wants to know what you think of Paul Heyman, and whose idea was it for you to flash him when you arm wrestled?
That was Dusty's idea. I mean, I always did what they told me.
Right.
All the time, you know. I never did anything. I mean, I always did everything they said, so they told me I had to do that. And I've known Paulie for so long, and he lived with myself and Eddie in Montgomery, Alabama, and I would never go in his bathroom. So you know how guys are. It's like, oh, my God, the mildew will take you away. Paul's a great guy.
Oh, wow.
I miss living in New York because we'd always go eat sushi all the time. So
yeah.
I miss that.
VNS says, who is the better employer between McMahon, Bischoff, or Heyman?
Well, I only worked for McMahon for a couple months, but I did get my check, and I got a bunch of clothes.
Yeah.
And, but I did get my, now I got screwed out of all my money when it was Bischoff at TBS, so. Not them. And Paul, you know, paid me. You know, I never had a problem with Paul's check, so. But I didn't get any clothes from Paul. So I'll say, you know, them.
Just for the clothes. The clothes
yeah.
make the difference. They
yeah.
certainly do. What are your thoughts on Sensational Sherry in the Hall of Fame?
You know what? It is the most awesome thing. I said this in another interview. I said, I've only had one great wrestling match in my life. Not even great, but I had a good one. And it was with Sherry Martel. And
mm-hmm.
so when they say that Sherry Martel can work with the broomstick and make it look good, it's true. She worked with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm worse than a broomstick. And she made it look good because when I saw it on tape, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's not that bad. And all I did was listen to her and did everything she said. And I am just so excited that she's in the Hall of Fame. I think that's the best.
Let me ask you a question, Missy. The bathtubs interview that you did in World Class, whose idea was that? That was pretty risque for the time.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, I think it was who interviewed? That was, not Mark Lawrence, but
Bill
Mercer.
Yeah, Bill
that
Mercer.
Was Bill Mercer. I mean, we were there doing the stuff. You know, about the Eddie Gilbert when he beat the Link, and because our apartment, we had that huge bathtub in the middle, and they were like, hey, let's do it in there.
Yeah, that was, I remember that, yeah, there was a lot of talk about that, because like I say at the time, hadn't been any Jell-O matches
it really was. It was so funny, because I had a black eye, too, and Sunshine didn't give me that black eye. It's so funny because I had that black eye and I was blaming it on her.
You came out with a book a few years back. It's called Missy Hyatt, First Lady of Wrestling. And you pulled no punches in letting the readers know exactly how you felt about the men in your life and your working relationships and things like that. How did the book do?
The book did pretty well. It really did. And it's so funny because I was just away this weekend doing an autograph doing a wrestling show and autograph, and I was putting DVDs and stuff in there, and I was like, oh, my God, I only have 3 books left, and I had a few cases, and I'm like, so I was like, okay, I better keep this. I only have, 3 left, because I don't have, a lot of my stuff, so, but it did pretty good. I was very happy.
You talked a lot about Lori Fullington in your book. Have your opinions changed on that?
No, you know, my writers, they wanted to make it seem like it was a lot worse than what it was, and I really don't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't even care. They just tried to make it, they made it seem like, you know how in a book you need to,
embellish a little bit?
Embellish slightly and make it seem a little bit more. I mean, everything I said in there is true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially about, like, the guys and this and that and the other. It's all true. But, you know, they embellished some stuff that I was like, okay, whatever. Put it in.
Just made it seem a little more dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it helped sales, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Guys, don't forget to check out Missy's website. It's MissyHyattAndFrancineTV.com for only $9.99. Members can chat with Missy live every Tuesday. And we,
yes, and they can chat with Francine on Mondays. And we have videos, and there's updates almost daily of something. Either pictures, and I'm, you know, naked on it, of course. And
all right.
So it is, you need to be 18 or older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Put that in there.
Absolutely. It's an adult website, people. But, Missy, I want to thank you for being on the show. And hopefully we can have you back again soon.
Anytime. You guys have my number. You anytime. And thank you for having me.
Okay, bye bye.
Take care of yourself, buddy.
Okay.
Missy Hyatt here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to about wrap things up. We got to get going. Les.
Doc.
Next week, we're going to have some good guests. I'm working on them.
Okay.
But we're going to keep it a secret.
Okay.
Keep checking out the website, WrestlingWeekly.com. Find out who our guests are going to be next week. And don't forget to check us out every day at WrestlingWeekly.com for all your news, all that good stuff. Got to do our little plugs here. I want to thank Wrestle Talk Radio for their help tonight. Of course, don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com. They have all the stuff that you need as far as profiles, galleries, title histories, all kinds of stuff over there at ObsessedWithWrestling.com. It's a complete, complete wrestling website.
And for your training needs, check out EPWT.com.
Of course. For your training needs, they've got new dates up for the Chicago training.
Yeah, that's April 15th in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and we've got plans for several other things coming up, but just nothing's set in stone yet in terms of dates and stuff. So, but we will keep you posted.
Yes. And LesThatcher.com, don't forget to check that out. A lot of good memorabilia-type things over there at LesThatcher.com as far as taking a look into Les's history and his past. Wrestling Weekly is a part of the Wrestling Media Network at WrestlingMediaNetwork.com and RadioWrestling.net. Guys, for Les Thatcher, I am Doc Young. Let's get out of here. Don't forget to join us next week, and don't forget to watch WrestleMania this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. We'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us next Thursday from 8 to 10 Eastern here on www.wrestlingweekly.com.